I had a headache the other day and was flipping through the TV channels while I was waiting for the ibuprofen to take effect so I could start my workday, and I happened upon an episode of a show called The Sopranos. It caught my eye because there was a Native American actor on the screen, and you hardly ever see Native Americans on TV unless it's a Western or a documentary. The story in this episode centered around a group of Native Americans who were planning to picket the Columbus Day Parade, and the resentment it stirred among the show's principal characters, who are Italian Americans. The show gave the subplot only topical treatment. The dialogue acknowledged, though, that the man whose Americanized name translates as Christopher Columbus was vicious, violent, and genocidal in his treatment of the Tiano people he encountered on the island that would later be called Hispaniola. To the Native American characters, and indeed to a growing number of actual people these days, celebrating the exploits of Columbus is insulting, insensitive, and unconscionable. I have no reservations, no pun intended, in declaring that those are my own feelings as well. Consider the facts. Columbus slaughtered and tortured Taino men and used mutilations and the threat of mutilation and death to coerce them into bringing him gold that they had mined. He encouraged his crewmen to rape Taino women and children, and he boasted in his letters that the Tainos could be enslaved with just a bit of trickery and brutality. We know this from Columbus's own writings, as well as those of his men who also told of his brutality toward them. Furthermore, although he was Italian, Columbus's so-called discovery of America was done in the service of Spain, not Italy, and it was even accidental. Columbus may have been a first-rate tyrant, but he was a second-rate navigator at best. The show also mentioned the history of the exploitation of Italians in America, and this is also true. Like many Eastern Europeans, the Chinese and the Irish immigrants who came to the so-called New World to escape crushing poverty and political persecution in their native countries, the majority of Italians who came here during the industrial period were treated to employment conditions that resembled, and in some instances even equaled or exceeded, indentured servitude, a kind of slavery. Take, for instance, the young Italian women who were employed at the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory in New York City. They were literally locked into the sweatshop where they were working very long shifts for no better than starvation wages. They were not permitted to seek a bathroom, nor to eat or drink water, and when on March 25th in 1911 a fire broke out in the building, at least 146 of those workers were either asphyxiated, burned to death, or killed when they jumped from the windows. Immigrants of many countries were among the victims, but the majority were Italian. Or consider the Italians who were pressed into service in mining coal in West Virginia, who, in the eyes of the robber baron coal operators, made ideal workers because of their language barriers and strong family affinities. They were sometimes paid at a lower rate than their Caucasian counterparts and were given the most dangerous jobs. Italian Americans, just like Native Americans, Eastern European working class immigrants, and of course African Americans, have also made invaluable contributions to American society, and, as it is true of any culturally distinct group of Americans, have produced their share of villains and criminals as well. What's important here are two common threads that bind together the histories of Native Americans and Italians alike, along with other exploited immigrants and American workers in general. The first is their victimization and exploitation at the hands of the owning class, conquistadors, slavers, plantation owners, coal operators, industrial barons, and sweatshop tycoons and the like. The second is the way racism and cultural bigotry have been used to keep each of these groups divided from each other in order to keep their political power in check. So why do many Italians revere Columbus, especially when there are far more admirable figures who could serve as emblems of Italian cultural pride, which, let me add, is justified? What about Amerigo Vespucci, a contemporary of Columbus's and a much better navigator, without the blood on his hands that Columbus had? Or better yet, how about the Italian-American heroes, like Angela Bambacci, a garment worker who at the age of 18, in response to the conditions at sweatshops like those at the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory, organized the International League of Women Garment Workers Union, which for a time was the largest and one of the most militant and progressive unions in the country. Or the Italian miners in West Virginia, who engaged in armed resistance in defense of their fellow miners who struck for better working conditions and the right to organize. I'd be proud to be able to say that I make my home in Bembachi, Ohio, just as I'm proud that some of my Irish ancestors fought the coal barons alongside their Italian brothers and sisters, along with Poles, Germans, Scots, and African Americans in the many coal wars of the 1920s. My point here is that there is far greater common ground than differences to be explored between immigrants and natives of all nationalities, and we take a big step in forming that kind of kinship when we recognize that the economic systems founded upon the exploitation of workers and land, which treat workers workers as expendable and capitalize on prejudice and commodify culture are absolutely antithetical to those basic human values that are common to all of us, regardless of where we come from. It's high time, then, that we stop letting those exploiters select our cultural icons for us. Calling for the retirement of Christopher Columbus as a false and misleading idol, therefore should not be seen as anti-Italian, but as a celebration, in fact, of the very best of the Italian-American legacy, which is an unshakable commitment to justice and the courage to struggle. A legacy shared by all of us in common, if we choose to own it and act upon it in the present. This has been an op-ed for the week ending December 11th. And by the way, this is also a week that includes the anniversary of the founding of the American Federation of Labor, known as the AFL, which later merged with the more radical Congress of Industrial Organizations to become the AFL-CIO. That founding convention was held right here in Columbus, Ohio, on December 8th in 1886. The AFL also evolved out of an earlier, more militant labor union called the Knights of Labor, which helped to form some of the first miners, unions in the Appalachians. And we also mark this week the anniversary of the largest underground coal mine disaster in U.S. history, which happened in Monongah, West Virginia, on December 6th in 1907. Nearly 400 miners were killed in a mine explosion there, resulting from safety violations on the part of the mine company. Clearly, some things seem never to change. But they ought to, don't you think?